I'm speaking to you today from the fifth chapter of the book of Revelation. If you will, I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to the fifth chapter of Revelation. I'm going to be speaking to you on the subject, Worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. And our reading is Revelation 5, verse 11 and 12. Now listen carefully. John says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne of God, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands and thousands. And they were saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings and every creature." Now listen to this. "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every creature such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." Now the person who reads this fifth chapter of Revelation, the revelation of Christ Jesus, written by John, everyone that reads it, that has any understanding at all of the Bible, knows that the Lamb here is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God. In verse 6, it says, "In the midst of the throne stood a Lamb." In verse 8, it says, "The 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb." In verse 12, it says they cried with a loud voice, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." And in verse 13, every creature in the universe, in heaven, every creature on earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Glory and honor and blessings to the Lamb." Now, every believer of every generation of all times, I'm talking about Old Testament, New Testament, present day, every believer of every generation knows that by the grace of God, we were redeemed from the law, from the curse of the law, from sin, by the blood of the Lamb of God. Peter wrote it this way. He said, "For as much as you know," this is something you know. This is not something to be put to debate or argument or question. This is something we know. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold or works or rituals or ceremonies from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and blemish." Every believer knows that. We were redeemed. It doesn't matter whether they lived in the Old Testament, New Testament, or present day. "For as much as you know, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ." And the song of heaven that we have just read in Revelation 5, the song of heaven, the song of the redeemed, the song of every redeemed person. And John makes it clear it's every creature in heaven, in the new heaven and the new earth, every creature, all of them sing the same song, "Worthy is the Lamb." Not some of them praising their works and some of them praising the law and some of them praising the ceremonies. Every one of them praises the Lamb. "Worthy is the Lamb, for thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation." Now, this is the song of heaven, and this is the true preacher's theme. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. What was the theme of this man sent from God? What was the theme of his message? He cried, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." So that's my subject today. I want to deal with this subject, the Lamb of God. Now, if you preach a message on the Lamb of God, we know that Lamb is Christ Jesus. And we know it's by the blood of the Lamb that we're redeemed. And we know that the song of heaven is worthy of is the Lamb. And we know that the true preacher's theme is the Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb. Now, if you preach a message on the Lamb of God, where do you begin? Where do you begin the message? Well, let's begin where the Word of God begins. In Revelation 13:8, listen to this. Revelation 13:8. All that dwell on the earth shall worship the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, if you're going to preach a sermon on the Lamb of God, and you begin at the beginning, you're going to have to talk about the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Christ is the Lamb of God before man was created, before man fell, before the world was created. He was the Lamb slain, and He was the Lamb who was the sin offering and the sacrifice before the world began. Now, God did not begin to look for a Savior after Adam fell. God did not begin to look for a Savior after Adam sinned. Redemption by the blood of Christ was no afterthought. The Savior stood as our surety of an everlasting covenant before Adam ever fell in the Garden of Eden. The Scripture says, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. And salvation is certainly His work. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So known unto God are all His works from the beginning. I'll tell you this, when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, if there had not already been a Savior, already in the mind and purpose of God a substitute, already in the purpose and plan of God a sin offering and a lamb slain, Adam would have been damned in that moment just as the angels were damned when they fell. It says in the Word of God, He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Now, the angels were created before men, and the angels fell before men. And when the angels fell, the Scripture said, from that moment they were reserved in everlasting chains of darkness unto the day of judgment. But when Adam fell, God had purposed to redeem a people out of Adam's fallen race and conform them all to the perfect image of His Son. So before Adam fell, before Adam transgressed the commandment of God, there was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ, our Lamb, the Lamb of whom they speak in heaven, worthy is the Lamb, has always been the Lamb. His blood is the blood of an everlasting covenant. He is the surety of an everlasting covenant. He was a lamb slain in the purpose and mind of God, in the will of God, before the world ever was created. Now, that ought to be established clearly in our minds, that salvation from sin by the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the way of salvation from the very beginning. And all of these dispensations and all of these pictures and patterns are but types of Christ, and are but Christ Jesus revealed in different ways to different generations. So when you begin a message on the Lamb of God, you begin where God began. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Now that's in Revelation 13:8. And the book of life is His book. It's the Lamb's book of life. And these names were not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All right. Then where do you pick up the Lamb in Scripture? Well, in Genesis 4, verse 4. Turn over there and read this. Genesis 4, verse 4. Abel brought to God a lamb, the firstling of the flock. And the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering. Now, here are two brothers. Adam and Eve sinned, and God cast them out of the garden. And there were born to them several children, not just two, Cain and Abel, We pick it up there in the Scriptures. But you know, if the Scriptures had recorded every word spoken and every deed done and everything accomplished in those years, a library wouldn't hold the books of the Bible. So God only gave those things needful for us and glorifying to Himself. And we pick up two sons of Adam and Eve. They were Cain and Abel. I don't know how old these boys were, but I do know this. They were not young children. They were not teenage boys. They both of them brought a sacrifice. Cain brought a sacrifice and Abel brought a sacrifice. And I think the reason, this is what I believe, the reason that each of them brought a sacrifice is each of them were family heads at that time. Cain brought his sacrifice and Abel brought his. They were the head of their own household. And Cain, what was his sacrifice? Well, he brought the fruit of the field. He was a farmer. And he brought different things that he had raised. He built an altar and he brought to God as a sin offering. Now, remember, this is a sin offering. This is a sacrifice. This is the way that Cain thought he would come to God for acceptance and he would come to God to worship. He brought his own fruit of the field, things that he'd accomplished with his own hands. What did Abel bring? Abel took the firstling of the flock as God had commanded. And he slew that lamb and put the blood on an altar. And the Scripture says God had respect to Abel's offering and he rejected Cain's offering. Abel brought a lamb. He slew the lamb and offered it to God. And that lamb represented the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that Abel brought a lamb indicated two things. Now listen to this. The fact that he brought a lamb and slew that lamb and offered his blood indicated two things. Number one, it indicated that he knew he was a sinner and his sin deserved death. When he slew that lamb, he was saying sin deserves death. The wages of sin is death. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The innocent victim had to die as a sin offering for Abel. And the second thing he was saying was this. He believed that God would one day provide a perfect sin offering, not an animal and not the blood of an animal, because the blood of animals cannot put away the sin of men. And Abel indicated two things by that lamb sacrifice, by the blood sacrifice. He knew he was a sinner and his sins deserved death. And he indicated his faith in the promise of God to redeem us by the blood of his lamb. And I'll tell you this, this is very significant. The first religious quarrel on this earth, when God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain, Cain was angry and he rose up in anger against his brother and slew him. And the first religious argument, the first religious quarrel and division was over what? Salvation by the blood of the Lamb. Salvation by the blood of the Lamb. The first martyr died. Why? For believing that salvation was in the blood of the Lamb. And there's a pattern for religious conflict and division that has come right on down to this day. Every religious system is either a system of faith in Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, or faith in our own works. And the Scripture says in Hebrews 11:4, Abel, being dead, yet speaketh. Abel being dead, but he still speaks to this generation. What does Abel say? Abel says this, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Abel says this, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Abel says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he hath saved us. All right, let's go on with the lamb now. Let's pick it up again. This lamb that they're praising in glory, worthy is the lamb, is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's the lamb that Abel typified and pictured when he brought the blood sacrifice and God accepted it. God accepted it over his brother's sacrifice of works. Now thirdly, Genesis 22, verse 7 and 8. Now listen to this. You're familiar with this conversation. You've read it many times. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, Behold, my father, here's the fire and here's the wood. But where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for the sin offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. This is one of the most significant conversations that have ever taken place on this earth. Here's this man, Abraham. Abraham was a friend of God. The scripture says God spoke to Abraham face to face as a man with his friend. Abraham is the pattern of the faithful. Abraham is the man whom God chose out of idolatry and pagan idol worship to be the first of the children of Israel. And he promised the Messiah as the seed of Abraham. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. And God is about to test and try and reveal both to Abraham and to the world this man's true faith and the object of his faith. Abraham had one son, Isaac, and he loved that son. I would say Isaac was in his teens, 14, 15, 16, somewhere in there. And God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, take thy son, whom thou lovest, to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him unto me as a sin offering. And without question, without argument, Abraham got his servants together and saddled the donkeys, and they started toward Mount Moriah, which was a 3 days journey. And I'm sure during those 3 days that Abraham would sit by the campfire and he'd look at that boy, Isaac, as he slept. There was no sleep for Abraham. Troubled, distressed, not understanding fully, because the Lord didn't say anything else to him. He didn't say, I'm going to deliver Isaac. I'm going to have a substitute for Isaac. You'll bring Isaac back. He said, just take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice to me on Mount Moriah. And Abraham departed believing God. He believed God. He believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead, because he'd already promised Abraham that in Isaac his seed would be called. So when they got to the mountain, Abraham left the servants and the donkeys and the equipment at the foot of the mountain, and he gave Isaac the fire. They had the fire at the end of some kind of stick with some sort of oil on it. And he took the wood and put it on Isaac's back, and they started up that mountain. They're going to worship God. They were going to worship God. They were going to seek communion with God and fellowship with the living God, the true and living God. And as they walked up the mountain, Isaac turned to his father and he said, my father, here's the fire and here's the wood. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for a sin offering? Isaac knew, young as he was, that without the shedding of blood, there was no forgiveness. There's no remission. There's no acceptance before God. Sin has got to have a sin offering. And Abraham replied to him. He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide a lamb. And God will provide himself. He'll be the lamb. God will be the lamb. Jesus Christ is God Almighty in human flesh. And God will provide a lamb for himself in order that he might be just and justifier of those who believe. And that's what the Lord Jesus meant later when those Jews said to him, we have Abraham. He said, if you had believed Abraham, you'd believe me, because Abraham saw my day. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. When did Abraham see the day of Christ? He saw it right here. Right here, he said, God will provide himself a lamb. And he saw it again when he got up on that mountain and put his son on the altar and strapped him to the altar and raised the knife to slay him. God said, Abraham, touch not the lad. And Abraham looked behind him, and there was a ram caught by his horns in the thicket. And the Lord God said, take the ram and put it in the place of your son and slay the ram as a sacrifice and a sin offering. That's substitution. You see, that's what Christ did for us. He came and took our place on the altar of sin as a sin offering. He took our place as our substitute, and he bore the wrath of God in our place. My son, God, will provide himself a lamb. And that lamb is Christ. All right, let's move along. Now in Exodus 12:13, here's a significant verse. God said, I will pass through the land of Egypt in judgment. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Now all of you are familiar with the word Passover, the Passover, the Jewish Passover. And you're familiar with the story of Israel's deliverance out of Egypt. Israel had been in Egypt for 400 years. They were the people of God, and God would deliver them out of Egypt, and God would take them across the Jordan into the Canaan, into that land that was promised to them, the land of milk and honey. But first, there must be a deliverance. And that deliverance is a picture of our deliverance. Egypt is a picture of sin. Israel is a picture of the true church in the world. In the world, in sin. And God is going to deliver His church out of the world, out of sin, and take them to the promised land or to glory. How's He going to do it? Well, several plagues had been brought upon Egypt, finally the last one. And Moses said to the people, select a lamb of the first year, not an old lamb or a baby lamb, but one in prime of life, a lamb without spot or blemish. And put it up for 3 or 4 days that you might observe it, make sure there's nothing, there's no fault in it, there's no disease in it, there's no blemish in it. And so they selected a lamb of the first year without spot or blemish and put it up 4 days. And then they slew the lamb and roasted its body and put the blood on the lintel and on the 2 side posts of the door. And at midnight, when God came through Egypt in judgment and death, He said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over you. Now He said to Israel, you shall observe this feast forever. Every year you'll observe the Lord's Passover. And when your children say to you, as you're sitting around, you've roasted the lamb, you're eating the carcass, you've given the blood on the altar as an offering for sin, and your children ask you, what do you mean by this service? You shall reply to them, this is the Lord's Passover, when He delivered us by the blood of the lamb out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage and slavery. And my friends, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before He was crucified, observed the Passover, the last Passover with His disciples. And as He observed that Passover, He stood before them and He took bread and broke it. And He said, this is my body, the body of the Lamb of God, which is shed for you. His body was bruised and broken and slain and roasted in fire on the cross of Calvary. And He said, this is my body broken for you. And then He took the wine and poured it in a glass. And He said, this is my blood shed for you. Now eat this bread, this unleavened bread, and drink this wine. And as oft as you eat this bread and drink this wine, you show the Lord's death until He comes. Now we no longer observe the Passover because the true lamb has died. There's no need to kill a lamb and shed its blood and eat its carcass and put blood on the door, because the Lamb of God has shed His blood, and His blood has been placed not on this earth but in heaven itself to redeem us. Now, let me move quickly. Look at Leviticus 17:11. It says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Now there was a tabernacle in the wilderness, which Moses erected according to God's specifications and directions. In that tabernacle was a holy of holies. In that holy of holies was a mercy seat. A mercy seat that covered over the Ark of the Covenant. In that Ark of the Covenant was the broken law. And on the top, the mercy seat, once a year, the high priest would slay a lamb and bring the blood of that lamb along with a censer of incense, picturing the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he would bring that blood of the lamb and pour it on the mercy seat. And that was called the Day of Atonement. That was called the atonement. That was called the sacrifice for sin, propitiation. Now, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, we've been talking about the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, the lamb pictured by Abel, the lamb pictured by Abraham and Isaac, the lamb pictured yonder in Egypt, and here the lamb whose blood was shed and offered as an atonement is Christ. And Christ, our high priest, of good things to come. This is Hebrews 9. You ought to read the whole chapter. Not this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but with his own precious blood, he entered into the Holy of Holies, into heaven itself, and obtained eternal redemption for us. Isaiah 53 says this, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. He's the Lamb of God. Now listen to John the Baptist, the forerunner. And God said, I'll send my messenger before I come, and he shall prepare a people, and he shall prepare the way of the Lord. John the Baptist stood out there on the banks of the Jordan, and he saw Jesus of Nazareth coming toward him. And he pointed to him and said to his disciples gathered round him, Behold, the Lamb of God. And my friend, this was the announcement that the whole world was waiting for. This was the announcement that God had prophesied and promised and predicted from before the foundation of the world. This is a revelation of God's redemption. There he is. Behold, look, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There he is. He's the fulfillment of every promise. He's the fulfillment of every prophecy. He's the fulfillment of every pattern. There's the Lamb of God. Now, do you understand better the words that I read in Revelation 5? Worthy is the Lamb. For he was slain and hath redeemed us to God by his blood out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue unto heaven. Now, I have this message on a cassette tape. It's called Worthy is the Lamb. On the other side, I'm going to bring a message next Lord's Day on Christ, head of the church. Christ, head of the church. If you want these two messages, we'll prepare them and send them to you. You write to me. The address will be given you in a moment. Send $2. That's what it cost us to prepare them and get them to you. Same tape, two messages. Worthy is the Lamb, Christ, head of the church. Until next week, I bid you a pleasant good day.